Good morning, church. How are you guys this morning? Yeah, fine. Yeah, anxious. Hope not. So today we'll be continuing our series on the book of Galatians, and we are landing on Galatians chapter 3 this morning. Last week, Pastor TJ reminded us that we are guaranteed by the promise and not through the law. And today, as Paul reminds the Galatians, as he tells them about their faith in Christ, and as he battles the false teachings of the Judaizers, this morning, it is my prayer that we will truly see the words of God when it comes to salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. Amen. Before we begin, let's start in prayer. Let's give this time to the Lord. God, we thank you. And we praise your name as we worshiped earlier through song, O God, in our confession of sins and the promise of grace. Lord, as we go through Galatians chapter 3, these are challenging. This is a challenging passage to teach, to preach. Lord, I submit myself to you, O God. Lord, remove any hindrances. Preach to us this morning, yes, O God. In my weakness, in my inadequacies, Lord, show yourself fully adequate as you are, God. Yes. Fully sufficient, Lord. Preach to us this morning through your word, yes, O God. And use this time to bless us. Use this time to sanctify us, to make us more like your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Remind us, God. Give us fresh hope as we continue in our everyday lives as Christians, as we go back to our schools, our work, our families. In this world, Lord, you know, it's been uncertain. But God, we put our hope and faith in you, O Lord. For you are sovereign and in control. You are here, God. Work through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, in the ancient Greek and Roman world, families would appoint a guardian or a tutor to oversee their child until maturity. You see, this guardian would walk the child to school. The guardian would discipline him and enforce the father's rules, oftentimes restricting the child's freedom. But see, even if the child is technically the heir to the estate of the father, he still lives under the guardian's supervision. But one day, the father will declare him mature and ready. And when that day comes, the guardian will step aside, and the son will be publicly recognized as the heir of the father's household. Beloved, that illustrates what today's passage teaches us. You see, Galatians chapter 3 shows us that the law was merely the guardian of God's people until the time that they were ready. You see, the law taught them. The law restrained them. The law exposed their sin and pointed them to Christ. But today, God's people are no longer under a guardian. Why? Because faith in Christ has come. And when faith in Christ came, Paul reminds the Galatians and the Judaizers that things changed. It's not like how it was during the Old Covenant when they were under the law of Moses, guarded by the law. So this morning, the question that we will be answering is, what changed when faith in Christ came? What changed when faith in Christ came? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. And in reverence of the word of God, I ask you to stand if you're able, and let us read the very words of our God. Beginning in Galatians chapter 3. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. These are the words of the living God. Lord, we tremble at your word. Amen. You may have your seats. Thank you so much. So with our passage today in Galatians chapter 3, Paul makes it very, very clear with this idea. Remember this, that when faith in Christ came, the law's guardianship ended, and we became sons of God in Christ. You see, this is what Paul is reminding the Galatian church. This is what Paul is going against the Judaizers. Remember, the Judaizers said you can have faith in Christ, but add circumcision. Add something from the law to be saved. But Paul says, no. You do not need to add the law to be saved. All we need is faith in Christ. So now for us to understand what changed when faith in Christ came, we need to look at what things were like before faith came. So let's walk through our passage. Number one, before faith in Christ came, we were guarded by the law. We were guarded by the law. Verse 23 says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. Now, by saying now before faith came, Paul does not mean that faith never existed. You see, faith was there and existed ever since the beginning. But here, Paul means faith in Christ. We saw this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And we see that in Genesis 15, verse 6 as well. So Paul here clearly and specifically means faith in Christ, because faith in God always existed. And so verse 23 continues, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. You see, Israel was held captive under the law. The law was their captor. Paul reminds them that the law was their jailer, brought them to prison. And you see, when we believe that the law can save us, you and I are also imprisoned by the law. And that is what Paul is reminding the Galatians. That faith in Christ has come, and we are no longer under the law. And how long was this imprisonment? It says here, until the coming faith would be revealed. And faith in who? We know this is faith in Christ. And who would be revealed to them and us? Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. And so the law guarded the Israelites until faith in Christ would come. And that's Paul's point. That's what Paul was telling the Galatians and the Judaizers, the false teachers who were adding to salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone. Paul elsewhere in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16, he says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Verse 14, but their minds were hardened, For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, Paul continues, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, that veil is removed. Beloved, through the Old Covenant, a veil covered the hearts of the Israelites. Their minds were hardened, and the veil can only be removed when they turn to Christ. Same with us. That veil can be removed only when you and I turn to Christ in faith. Verse 24 continues in Galatians chapter 3. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. Paul is very clear. He starts, so then, right? Before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming of faith. So then, the law was our guardian. So what does it mean when Paul says the law was our guardian? See, the Greek word for guardian was a tutor or tutor, an instructor or a schoolmaster, just like what we talked about earlier during the beginning of the sermon. Guardians would oversee minors, training them and disciplining them for their own development. And while they were not the main academic instructor, the guardian was charged with moral supervision and wielded authority over the child. Yet guardians were destined to step aside once maturity came. You see, Paul was reminding them that while they were like spiritual minors, Israel needed a guardian to show them how to live. You see, the law as guardian exposed their sin. It exposed who they truly were and truly are. And it showed them how holy God is. And the law imprisoned them. For how long was the law to act as a guardian? Well, Paul says, the verse continues, it says, until Christ came. The law was a guardian, a temporary guardian to God's people. You know, in a similar way that a son was never meant to be under a guardian forever, God's people were not meant to be under a guardian forever. Let's say maybe you grew up with a nanny or maybe a guardian, or in our culture, maybe a yaya, maybe took care of you since you were young, and then you grew up, went through elementary, went through high school, college, you got a job, you start working, you got married, you had one kid, then you got two kids, then three, then maybe you have five kids maybe, and you're already older in age. And let's say one day you just get your phone and you call up your old nanny or your old guardian or your old yaya and say, yeah, I need you to be my yaya again. I need you to follow me around in the office. You know, it's almost summertime. It's getting hot. So I need you to put powder in the back of my t-shirt, to put a labakara, a towel in the back. I just need you to do that again, just like when I was a child. Right? It wouldn't make sense if we went back to our old guardian. This is the illustration Paul is trying to tell the Galatians. We were under the law as guardian, but now we are not. Do not run back to the law. Do not run back, because the law cannot save us. It's only salvation by faith in Christ that can save us. And why did the law guard God's people? Verse 24 tells us clearly, in order that we might be justified by faith. That we might be justified by faith. You see, the law again was to point them to salvation in Christ. It was to point us to salvation in Christ. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, Paul says this with zeal for his fellow Jews and Israelites. He says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He reminds the Galatians in our passage that the law guarded us, the law guarded them until faith in Christ would come. And faith in Christ did come. For he in Romans 10 verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes by faith alone, not the law, not following the law of Moses, not good works or our works. So this is what happened before faith came. The law was a guardian for God's people before faith in Christ came. So now, what happened after faith in Christ came? Well, Paul will remind the Galatians. Number two, remember this. That after faith in Christ came, the law's guardianship ended, and through faith, we became sons of God. We became sons of God through faith. Verse 25 continues, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Paul is very clear here. And I want us to pay attention to the word but. You know, in the Bible, whenever we see the word but, it represents a shift. So we must pay attention to the next words happening. He says, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Beloved, because faith in Christ has now come, we no longer need the guardian to follow us around, to discipline us, to walk with us. Why? Because verse 26 says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Paul is very clear to the Galatians. He is very clear to the Judaizers. By faith in Christ Jesus, you are already sons of God. Mature sons of God. You no longer need the guardian to school you, to tutor you, to follow you around. You are sons of God. So what does it mean to be a son of God? Well, it means that in Christ we are adopted into God's family and we are given the status of sons. You see, in the ancient world, in the day of Paul and the apostles, only sons had the right to inherit their father's estate. And that's why he uses this illustration to make a point to them, to the Galatians. Beloved, in the same way, those who belong to Christ have become sons of God. You have an inheritance from the Father through faith and not the law. Sons of God through faith. And I want to encourage our sisters in Christ that whenever you see that you are sons of God, it does not forget that you are females made in God's image. But again, the picture is that sons in the day of Paul were to receive the inheritance. So in Christ, whether you are male or female, in Christ through faith, you are sons of God. You have the inheritance. You are heirs of the promise. And saying this in Paul's time is mind-blowing. Wow. All who put their faith in Christ are sons of God, whether male or female. Yes, that is what the Bible says. Paul elsewhere in Romans chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For all who are led. It doesn't say some who are led, a few who are led. It says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And how do we become sons of God? Well, the verse is very clear in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Paul is very clear. It is through faith that you and I are sons of God. And again, the Galatian church composed of males and females, people from different statuses. We're going to see that later on in the verse. But by faith, through faith in Christ, they are sons of God, mature sons of God, not through the law, but through faith. And at this point, if you've noticed, the word faith has appeared in this time in our passage 5 times so far in our passage. So Paul is emphasizing faith so heavily. Faith, faith, faith. You see, the word faith in the original Greek means a belief in, trust in. It means a fidelity to or towards. And we know again that this means faith in Christ, not faith in the law. It is not faith in another deity. It is not faith in a school of thought. It is not faith in an ideology. No, this is faith in Christ. Paul is so clear in this chapter. And the whole Galatians is very clear so far, chapter 1 and chapter 2. You see, this faith, beloved, is centered and anchored on Christ Jesus alone. That is Paul's point to the Galatians. You become sons of God through faith alone in Christ alone, not through the law, not through works. It is through faith that you and I have become sons of God, heirs of the promise. And so now we've seen what it was like before faith in Christ came, right? The law was a guardian for God's people. They were spiritual minors who were under a guardian. But after faith in Christ came, we are no longer under a guardian. But through faith, we have become mature sons of God. And isn't that such an encouragement, church? Right? So what else changed? What else changed when faith in Christ came? We're now sons of God in Christ through faith. What else changed? Number 3, through faith as sons, we are united in Christ. Through faith as sons, you and I are united in Christ. Paul continues in verse 27. He says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You have put on Christ. You see, this does not mean that baptism itself saves. But Paul was using this metaphorically to show that we have been immersed or placed into Christ. We have been immersed into Christ, placed into Christ. As sons, we have been united into Christ through faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith, in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead." Notice the phrase, "with Him." With Him, with Him. Through faith, we are united with Christ in His life, in His death, and resurrection. And the mere act of baptism symbolizes that union. By faith, you are sons. And as sons of God, you are united to Christ. You do not need to add the law. Paul's point is that we are united to Christ. By faith, not law-keeping, not the law. And he reminds this to the Galatians. And going back to verse 27 in Galatians 3, "As many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Let me clarify this. You know, when we read "put on," we immediately think of putting on a jacket or putting on a hat. Or putting on our shoes or a coat. You see, when it's raining outside, I put on a jacket. And when I'm under shelter, I take off the jacket because I no longer need it. Or let's say maybe I have a bad haircut, hopefully not like today. I put on a hat and I go around publicly, but when I'm back in the privacy of my home, I can take off my hat. I no longer need it. Beloved, I want to remind us that we cannot put on Christ when we need Him and take Him off when we don't need Him. You see, while it is true that we need to reflect Christ in everything that we do, in our conduct, reflecting the light of Christ, the glory of the gospel, yet Paul does not mean in this verse of a superficial putting on of Christ. But I believe that he means a once and for all change of status for the believer. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53 to 54 says, For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is now swallowed up in victory. Beloved, for the perishable body must put on the imperishable, the perishable becomes imperishable. It can no longer become perishable. When the mortal body puts on immortality, the mortal becomes immortal, can never go back to becoming mortal anymore. And this is the best picture of how this works. Death is swallowed up in victory. Beloved, the perishable is swallowed up in the imperishable. The mortal is swallowed up by the immortality. Church, believers through faith are now swallowed up, are now wrapped up, are now conquered in the merit, in the righteousness, and in the life of Christ. Through faith, we are swallowed up in Christ. Through faith, we have put Him on once and for all. The believer is now a son of God, a child of God, united to Christ forever and ever. And because we are sons of God, united in Christ through faith. In verse 28, Paul then continues. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. All one in Christ Jesus. Wrapped up, covered up, conquered by Christ. One in Christ Jesus. This verse does not mean that distinctions between ethnicity or gender disappear. Let's not take this out of context. Rather, these distinctions are no longer give anyone a spiritual advantage over God. So what does that mean? You see, a Jew whose ancestors were given the law does not have an advantage over a Greek who was a pagan. Why? Because salvation is through faith. Both Jews and Greeks are one in Christ through faith, not the law. Likewise, a free man has no spiritual advantage over a slave. Though their social conditions differed, a free man can do whatever he wants. A slave was under bondage from his master. Yet through faith in Christ, both stand equally as sons of God, united in Christ. Now males who held advantages over females in Paul's day have no spiritual advantage over females. Again, both stand equally as sons of God through faith. Because why? Because salvation is through faith alone, in Christ alone, not through the law. So Paul is reminding the Galatians, if it were by the law, then people could have advantages over each other. A Jew would have advantage over a Greek. A free man would have an advantage over a slave. Males would have advantage over a females. But Paul reminds the Galatians, no, in Christ we are all united to Him by faith. That is his point here. Through faith we are made sons of God. We are united to Christ. Therefore, no one has a greater status in God's family than another. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And not only are we sons of God and one in Christ, but we are also heirs of the promise made to Abraham. Verse 29, Paul continues here, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." Beloved, in Christ, through faith, you become Abraham's spiritual offspring. You are heirs according to the promise. Did you know that? Let's be clear. We do not inherit the promise of numerous offsprings like Abraham. We do not inherit a great name like Abraham. We are not inheriting physical property like Abraham. We inherit the greater promise that we will be blessed through the blessing of Abraham. And what is that blessing? Well, just as Abraham was counted as righteous when he believed God, we who are heirs of Abraham on the pattern of his faith in Christ share also in the blessing of the righteousness of faith, justification by faith. That is the blessing that you and I have. Justification by faith. Righteousness, not through the law, but righteousness by faith and of faith. Genesis chapter 12, 3, as God blessed Abraham, he said, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And church, today, because faith in Christ has come, we are so blessed to be justified by faith. Amen. Not our works. If we were justified by our works, we would be doomed, all of us. And this is the great blessing that we have in Christ. And so at this point, we've seen what it was like before faith came. The law was a guardian for God's people. And that we saw now what has changed when faith in Christ came. Through faith, we have become sons of God. Through faith, we have become united in Christ, one with Christ. So now, how can we apply this in our everyday lives as followers of Jesus? I have a few application points here. Number one, stop living like spiritual minors. Stop living like spiritual minors. You see, if you are in Christ, stop living under the weight of the law. The law was never meant to save you. It had the temporary role as a guardian. But through faith in Christ, you are no longer under a guardian. Through faith alone. Do not add faith plus works, faith plus something else, faith plus the law. Or maybe we can apply this in a different way. Maybe you serve the Lord, praise God, almost every day, all the time. But somehow as you're serving God, you want Him to see you. "Lord, I'm doing this all for you. Be pleased with me. I feel bad. Maybe I've sinned yesterday. I need to do this. I need to serve you in this capacity so I can feel your forgiveness." No. That's not how it works. Through your faith in Christ, you are sons of God, no longer spiritual minors. You are one with Christ, forgiven in Christ. You don't need to perform anymore. You don't need to be under the weight of the law or under any works-based teaching. So have you been living like spiritual minors? The Word of God reminds us, let's stop living like spiritual minors. Number two, remember that you are sons of God in Christ. Paul reminds the Galatians, after reminding them you're no longer spiritual minors, remember that you are sons of God in Christ. So live like the sons of God that you are. Start living as people of God who have the inheritance from God. You know, when we look in at our world right now, the news, things seem like they're getting even more unstable. There are wars and rumors of wars. Prices are going up. are down or they're very unstable. But we need to remind ourselves, we need to let the Word remind us that through faith in Christ, united in Him, we are sons of God. We have an inheritance waiting for us. Pastor Nigel mentioned earlier through the pastoral prayer that this life is not all that there is. There is the life to come. You know, as I was reflecting on this, as I was studying on the passage, imagine for a second, the next day, tomorrow, you wake up and you receive an email, a letter, maybe it's LBC or FedEx or a text telling you that, hey, we saw in the family tree and we really researched and dug in and we saw that you're actually the heir of the richest person in the world right now. I don't know who that is. You can fill in the blanks. But, you know, how would we feel if you got that email or text? And they say, you're not going to inherit it when the person dies. You'll inherit it tonight, dayun, like right now. How would that feeling be? You'll inherit everything that they have. Right? You know, as I was reflecting, it got me thinking that us as Christians, we're not as enthusiastic about being sons of God, about being heirs of the promise. Imagine we are sons of the mightiest being in the universe. We have an inheritance that is left by the most powerful being in the universe, the one who set the stars in motion, the one who gives the sun its power, its light. All of that, through faith in Christ, you are sons of God. There's nothing to worry about tomorrow, church. You can face tomorrow because by faith and through faith in Christ, you are children of God, adopted into His family. You have an inheritance from God. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can imagine, can conceive what God has prepared for us. Church, remember that you are sons of God. Number three, put your faith in Christ alone. Put your faith in Christ alone. If you have not put your faith in Christ to save you, now is the best time to do it. You can put your faith in Christ alone to save you, for the forgiveness of your sins. You no longer have to work for it. You no longer need to be under the pressure of this world. Put your faith in Christ alone. Turn from your sins. Repent of your sins. And trust in God, in Christ, your Savior, alone for the forgiveness of your sins. Put your faith in Christ alone. And so we saw that guardians were temporary guides who were tasked to train and instruct a child until he reached maturity. Once he was ready, the child would be declared mature and become the heir of the father's household. Similarly, the law served as the guardian of God's people. It instructed them. It exposed their sin until the coming of faith in Christ. And when faith in Christ came, those who believe in Him are united to Christ and become sons of God, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. You have become sons of God in Christ. The message of the epistle to the Galatians is clear that salvation does not come through the law, but salvation comes through faith. The law was only a guardian. And now that faith in Christ has come, we are no longer under a guardian, but are united to Christ and made sons of God through faith. And that gives us great hope. Amen. Therefore, when faith in Christ came, the law's guardianship ended. And we became sons of God in Christ. And beloved, if we are sons, then we are also heirs according to the promise of God. Let's pray.